Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Game Time Decisions begins now. I am Gabe Morenci, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We're also on the loudest station in the nation, SB Nation Radio. Let's do this thing. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. A new day, a new plan for Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred have more plans than Kerry Matheson on Homeland did. And that was a crazy series finale, let me tell you, on a Sunday night. But we've got a lot of news, Major League Baseball news, EPL news, AFL news. And when I say AFL news, there's a common theme to all of this, guys. So hang with me with this. We'll talk NFL football because it's never a bad time to talk NFL football. We're going to talk about the Arkansas Derby. And the Arkansas Derby is so stacked, they have to split it into two races, Cam.
Yeah, these guys aren't stupid either. Two races equals two handles. You think we're dumb? You think you have one? Want to have one race? Hey,
no,
let's
no,
have
no,
another.
No, 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 Cam. Cam, I was reading the officials of the Arkansas Derby said, you know, in these troubling times, there's just so many good horses that we wanted to give people an opportunity to run. And I'm thinking, no, like, yeah, I'm sure 22 horses. It's like, you know what? Why not? Let's have two Arkansas Derbies.
Why not, Gabe? No, it's interesting, too. Like, you have to think about this, and we've talked about sometimes the Kentucky Derby, they got like 18 horses, and that's dangerous out of the gate, especially if conditions aren't perfect. Horses will bump. That's too many horses in a condensed spot. But I will say this. Doing the two races, yeah, not just good for business with the horses, Gabe. Like, that's the thing. You're going to have two handles, right? And you got two great horses. You got Nadal in one race, and you got.
I've got no complaints.
Yeah, no,
I've got no complaints. I'm looking forward to it because, as you stated, now it actually turns into about 2 hours of racing, right? Or at least in the broadcast, because normally these high stakes races will be around 6:24, 6:34. So, and I believe the race goes off at 6:34 Eastern. And don't hold me to it, but in that range. And then the second one is 7:43.
Milk it.
It's like an hour later. Exactly. Milk it.
They're so good in horse.
And you know there'll be a delay before the start of each one because the money's going to be flowing in and they're going to be going, guys, we've never seen money like this ever before for the Arkansas Derby. Hold another 2 minutes. Hold another 2 minutes. Hold another 2 minutes.
You've seen it at Northfield, Gabe, when you're doing shows from the Meadowlands. It says 0 minutes to post, and I'm like going, that's the fifth minute. It said zero to post. They're just getting late action, right? So, yeah, these horse tracks, they're not stupid. They just want to keep you going and basically get every single drip that they can before the race goes off. But it's going to be fantastic. Lots of quality horses.
Yeah, there is. So me and Cam will break down the Arkansas Derby today, both Division One and Division Two, as they're calling it, although they're all equally good horses. They just sort of split. They split up the pool, and of course, there's Bob Baffert, right, with the best horse in both races.
Why not? The Ric Flair of horse racing? Woo! Yeah, I'm Bob Baffert. He's got, I don't know what to tell you, Gabe, but just one of those things, like whatever this guy touches turns to gold and the rich get richer. It's kind of like that story I told you when the poor lady goes to the convenience store. Last scratch ticket, guy, man, sorry. Millionaire comes in.
The guy
to pick
that goes
up some
in
milk.
His BMW. Went, yeah.
The guy at the convenience store told me, he goes, isn't it amazing, Cam? I go, why? He goes, every guy who wins the big money, it's a rich guy. All the poor people, they never win. It's just, I don't get it, but that's the way it goes.
That's always the case. So listen, we'll get into the Arkansas Derby, and you know, I like one of the favorites, and we won't talk about it now. It's a tease. Yeah. I like one of the favorites, but I've got a horse I'm sitting on in a Division II race here that I'm looking at. That's kind of flying under the radar in the 10-1 range, actually. So we'll break down the horses. We'll go through the field for both. Yeah. I've got you interested, huh?
I think we're reading each other's mail, and I'll leave a tease, too. I agree. I think one of the favorites win, but I'm going to go the other way in the other race. And so stay tuned. We got horse picks.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page, and we haven't discussed this, that one of the favorites is going to win. I'm looking, I'm like, oh, yeah, this horse is going to smoke everybody.
One of the horses, let's just say, stone cold lock. Like, he'll have to fall down to lose. The other one?
Hmm. Yeah. I think we're on the same page about the races, too. I looked at it the same way. Because, look, I took the favorite in the Kentucky, not in the Kentucky Derby, the Florida Derby.
Florida Derby, yeah.
The Florida Derby that went on at Gulfstream. Tis the Law, excuse me, exactly. So I took the favorite, and everyone on Twitter was being flashy and this and that. And I just said, guys, this horse is better than the rest of these horses.
Yep.
And the horse easily won the race. It was easy money. I wish I would have hammered it even more. And you can sort of see one of these horses is way better than everybody else. But one of the races is kind of a little bit more open, and there's some good horses at the back end of one of these races. But let's get into Major League Baseball. And I got to be honest with you. People are tuning into the show. You guys know, you know, I follow the real world news more than most sports hosts do. And now it actually matters. Before it was like a waste of time, right? Now it actually matters. You'll find out more from governors, from mayors, from doctors, than you are going to find out from ESPN or CBS Sports, et cetera, because they're actually the ones, you know, that actually know. But even my head is spinning, Cam, now. And I can't imagine the average guy here how confusing it is in which you see headlines acting like everything's suddenly okay. Oh, Major League Baseball's coming back. July 4th. Oh, yeah, three divisions, and they're doing this and that. And then at the same point in time, Dr. Fauci says, yeah, you know what? This is actually going worse than I thought. I don't even think we can do team sports. I would recommend against team sports. Major League Baseball players are in the Dominican Republic right now, drinking sangrias, talking about how they don't think there's going to be baseball, yet all these American networks, oh, baseball starting July 4th. It's like, no, it isn't. Like, we're like... And then I can understand why people get confused, because people send me positive tweets. Hey, Marucci, look at his story. And I don't expect them to, like, read the CDC website or know what Dr. Fauci said a couple hours ago. But he basically came out and he said, the sports aren't looking good. He goes, I highly recommend against team sports.
I agree, Gabe. And the thing is, that for people that don't understand, if you're not watching the news, there's going to be four different phases, and team sports are included in phase three and mostly phase four. We're not even there. We're not even starting this thing yet. We don't even know about second and third waves. And to your point about baseball, I'm reading these reports too. So you have a plan to play, you know, Cactus League. We'll break it up in divisions. Now they're talking 10 different cities. You're right. It's enough to like make your head spin. Every day there's a different story. None of it is concrete. And I'm with you. If as a betting man, there will not be baseball on July 4th. I would basically mortgage my house. I will take out a second mortgage and make that bet right now.
I'm not saying there's no baseball.
There could be baseball, but not
that. Baseball is kind of in doubt. We've been through this. There's a lot of challenges. But I brought up the EPL and the AFL. And the reason I do, the correlation here is, so the English Premier League, it's a mega league, massive money at stake. A growing number of Premier League players do not want to play football during the coronavirus. In what is a major blow to the league's hopes of resuming, a significant setback to what they call Project Restart. It's actually a good name.
I like Project Restart. Yeah, sounds fun.
The Brits, give it to them. They're smart people. They come Project. Yeah, we just come with open up. They're like Project Restart.
they call a toilet a loo, a closet a wardrobe. Yes. So like when it comes to
a punter.
Yeah, a punter. Yeah. Like it's just the language just
You and I are punters.
Yeah, we're punters. It sounds just a little bit more intelligent when the Brits say it. That's for sure. Even though if you've met some of the Brits at the OTB.
Yeah, they're not all too bright. No.
Let's put the brakes on right there.
they're not all rocket science. I know their sitcoms are sharp, but a lot of their people are not.
You're right.
One source at the Premier League tells ESPN, a lot of players are very uncomfortable with coming back. The only way the league takes this seriously is when someone at a club dies. We'll look back with sadness. Basically, the players are like, what are you guys, crazy? Because they're the ones that have to be out there, Cam.
It's true. And
it's easy for the owners and people sitting on their couch who should open play, go out there and play. These guys are regular people with families. So it's just interesting. So EPL players are like, yeah, this isn't happening. We're not down with this. AFL, Australian Football League. We're very excited. We follow the league, as everybody knows. We've been following it for 16, 17 years. We follow the league. That was the one league that started when everybody else shut down. That week, it was the week they started when, March Madness was canceled. They were like, yeah, instead of 23 weeks, we're going to play 17 weeks. They even shortened the quarters like that was going to matter. Yeah. Well, instead of 20-minute quarters, we're going to play 16-minute quarters. Right? And they got through 1 week. They didn't even get through it, Ken. They did.
Yeah,
but
barely.
By the end of the first Saturday night, they were like, these are the last games. We're out. we can't do this. They realized this isn't going to end well. And they shut it down. So they're pushing it. They're hardcore in Australia, right? So there's a push. We're bringing the league back again. And a lot of the players are like, yeah, you know what?
I think we'll just wait.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, star players. Mm-hmm. So you see a common theme here, guys. Major League Baseball, Mike Trout, Clayton Kershaw, star players are like, hell no. There's no way in hell I'm going to get in quarantine for 4.5 months. EPL players, star players, they don't even going to get quarantined. They just don't want to play. They're like, guys, just shut the year down. It's not the end of the world. Everyone calm down. We're canceling the season. And you're seeing France shut it down. Some of these European countries are starting to realize this isn't going to work. How the hell is Italy going to pull a soccer league off? You guys lost, how many enemy dead people are there? Exactly. And Puccio is a big, Puccio might come as a surprise. Puccio is not Japanese.
No,
he's not Greek.
Producer Puccio, yeah, he might
Producer
be Italian.
Puccio. Hey, it's not Greek, Puccio. So Puccio would know the name of the guy, and he can tell it in our chat headset here. He'll know this. Ken, this is mind-numbing. A kid on Juventus, he's 25 years old. He's tested positive for coronavirus 4 times in the last 2 months.
Oh, my God. Paolo Dybala?
Paolo Dybala. Yeah.
How
the kid
has
tested positive 4 times.
So that means he's
been in quarantine since March 11th. Every time he's okay, he gets it again. And they're like, dude, you got to go back in quarantine. He's been in quarantine since March 11th, this kid.
Huh. How does he get? The thing is, I don't understand. So it's 2 weeks.
And he's fine.
He's fine. Okay.
He's not on his deathbed, but he keeps testing positive.
How? So you get 2 weeks and you're free? Does he just meet somebody and get it again?
Nobody knows anything about this virus.
Ding dong. You said the excellent thing. If this guy's doing everything, and he's a young guy too, and he's getting it 4 times.
Pets can't get it. Now the new social guidelines.
Oh, don't tell
me. You got to social distance your pets.
See, that's not happening.
If you have a cat and a dog, you can't. And the new thing is, if you have it, you can't go near your dog now because dogs are getting it now.
Well, that's the thing is with pets, they're also uncontrollable. You could be sleeping and your dog can jump on your bed and lick you. And with a cat, he follows you around when you got food. It's impossible to social distance.
You go to sleep, the dog starts.
The dog loves you.
There's some spilt beer. You know what I mean?
He starts lick, lick.
And he comes up to you, starts licking you.
I know. You taste like beer, Cam. Thanks, Poochie. I don't know what I'm going to tell you, Dave.
We're the evil ones, as always. We're giving it to them, not the other
way around. I agree. Humans suck. Pets are nice. I don't know what to tell you. I think social distancing pets is nearly impossible. Basically, what you're going to do if you have it, Gabe, you have to give them to somebody else or you can't have them in the same like house domicile or whatever as you. It's impossible. The pet will follow you around. There's no such thing as social distancing a pet. Sorry.
Yeah, like you just think about it though. No, you don't need to wear a mask. Oh, you better wear a mask. No, pets can't get it. No, no, it doesn't live in the air. Oh, it lives in the air for 17 hours.
Like, great.
I remember sitting on New York subways without a mask and telling someone, no, no, it's okay. They said it doesn't live in the air, only on surfaces. And then after, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, it can live in the subway or the bus for 3 days. It's like, oh, thanks for telling us this 2 months in.
That's a good point. There's no in those things, there's no ventilation, right? The air gets encapsulated and entrapped there. That's a problem. That's okay. I know I didn't wear my mask yesterday when I was grocery shopping because it slipped down in my face and there were some real greasers in there. I'm like, you're taking your life in your hands, man. I got to tell my mom, like, slow down on the grocery list. Like,
oh, that's my deal.
I can't do this anymore.
I'm not like living in fear of the actual virus. I don't like going near other people because I know they're idiots.
That's the thing. Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? I see it. I'm in a gas station, man. Some dude without a mask. He's making his hot dog there.
I know. I'm like, all over the place. Yeah. Exactly. Some people are bumping into each other. It's like some people have no clue. Like they literally don't turn on the TV, know what's happening in the world. They just go about like it's they live under a rock.
So, well, it seems, and that's a perfect segue, Cam, into Major League Baseball because – Well, the Dr. Fauci's like, yeah, team sports aren't happening. Half these players, like, July 4th, guys, there's a no-fly zone. The countries are in lockdown. I don't know what part of this some people don't understand. Like, you think just because, like, ESPN or Bob Nightingale reports that the president of the Dominican Republic's going to open up the airport? You know what I mean? Like, players can't get anywhere. There's a story, Cam, about the UFC fighters. And you're going to like this, actually. I know what your reaction is going to be here. But so the UFC, they're fighting in Jacksonville, okay? Fighters are talking about how it's taken them like a day and a half and 2 days to get there. Because there's like, and if you look at flights, and I have looked at flights recently, there's nothing direct, Cam, because there's not enough flights for them to fly with one person on. They don't want to do that.
Yeah, especially in Jacksonville. There'll be no direct flights.
I considered flying from New York to Buffalo. And I was going to go through Niagara Falls, okay?
Yep.
It was a 13-hour flight, Cam.
Oh, my God. For something that takes 45 minutes when healthy, yes.
Yeah. It was like three stops. Yeah. Like, we were going to go stop, like, in...
Yeah, you go backwards to, like, Minnesota or something.
Yeah, we went
like
to Chicago.
That, right?
Yeah, to Chicago, to Minneapolis, then to Buffalo.
That's a
from
disaster.
New York City.
That's crazy.
And basically, it's like, that doesn't even make sense. Why would you... And it was, like, $800. Yeah. So I was like, this is just stupid. And I just shut the computer. And UFC fighters are facing the same problem. They're like, some dude was like, man, I got to fly to Chicago and then fly to, you know, to wherever, Baltimore, and then to here. And it's taking me like 19 hours to get there.
Might as well drive if you're closer to Jacksonville.
Somebody brought up a very good point and said, why the hell doesn't Dana send his private jet to
him? That's kind of, that was my next point.
Because no, I guess not, right? Like, Dana's not going to do that. Yeah, he needs his jet, but you can go schlep in the airport in Chicago for 18 hours overnight.
It's very obvious to me when you talk about UFC compared to the other sports, is we could say what you want about Goodell. Whatever. Dana White, like, he might kind of like the fighters, but the bottom line is it's him, the shareholders, everybody else. Like, he has this, like,
dude, he didn't even tell Gaethje made a bet he was fighting.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane.
You cannot have a pandemic. Like, that little respect. Just, yeah, whatever.
Heartless.
Like,
it's pretty heartless when you think about it. But that's the thing. These UFC guys, but he knows. And that's the sad thing, Gabe. We talk about this a lot. If one guy needs the money, it's fighters. And if you're not like a top-end fighter there, you need the paycheck, right? You'll
Justin
do anything.
Gaethje doesn't have the same bank account Clayton Kershaw does.
No, he does not.
Clayton Kershaw has that luxury of sitting in his mansion in Dallas right now saying, there's no way in hell I'm going living in quarantine.
Exactly.
Justin Gaethje's like, I need that $140,000 that I'm getting for this fight. Mm-hmm. If he's even getting that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? $80,000 or whatever it is. Right? Like, they need the money. That's the difference. Okay, so, well, listen, baseball could be coming back. We talked about it on yesterday's program, guys. Only because there's $4 billion in salaries at stake. And just because Clayton Kershaw and Mike Trout don't want to play doesn't mean other guys. Like, Nolan Arenado's a free agent. He wants to play. Like, he's up there. Every day he's talking about, oh, I want to play. So, well, we're going to get into what the new plan is, the new divisions, and all that type of stuff. A lot of fun stuff we got on the show today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decision continues. Get on the grid. SB Nation, the loudest station in the nation. I am Gabriel Brunson. We're throwing it down to Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. And I said to Nolan Arenado, a free agent. No, not a free agent. Sort of on the market, so to speak. In which he was about to be traded before all of this happened, or he wanted to be traded. Colorado, Colorado's a weird franchise.
They are.
They were sort of knocking on a door. They had a ton of talent, and it's falling apart pretty rapidly for them. But Nolan Arenado, every day, I see him in a batting cage, and, like, he's working out. Like, he wants to play. Like, he keeps talking about how he wants to play. And, you know, since he got all this money, I don't know what his motivation is. I guess he wants the money right now. That's the motivation.
Yeah. 260 million reasons, Gabe. Yeah, and it's interesting. Puccio was mentioning this, too. Like, the Cardinals are a team that they seem to be very interested in these type of stars. Remember when Paul Goldschmidt left the Arizona Diamondbacks? They jumped on it. So it's kind of a team that makes sense. They have a couple of young players. It's going to be interesting to see.
There's no deals happening now.
No, there's no deals. And I will say this about Colorado. They just unbelievably, even when they have the hitters, they have no pitching. They just can't seem to really get it together there. And I agree with you. I think they're a team that's a little bit on the decline.
You know what? Something that was brought up that was pretty interesting about NBA players, actually. Fred Van Fleet, an example. Fred Van Fleet's a free agent, all right, at the end of the year. Technically, Fred Van Fleet's a free agent on June 30th.
Yes. Yep. Nothing will change. Yeah, that's written in the deal, yes.
Yeah, so, but what if the NBA's playing the finals and the playoffs in August?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but they'd have to amend some of the documentation, don't you think? That's interesting. Like, what do you do?
Like, what if free agents rolled up and said, listen, I don't want to be a jerk, but I'm not an employee of your team anymore.
Yeah.
And I could actually sign with these guys. Like, think about how evil that is. Van Fleet said, you know what? I'm a free agent. I just signed with the Milwaukee Bucks.
There's going to be something
happen. They'd be like, guys can't leave now. Like,
There's a danger clause or something in the thing that we'll make sure they take care of it. They can't have pandemonium because he's not the only person too, right, Gabe? Like, there's tons of guys in that type of situation.
Oh, no, no. But that's what I'm saying. There's so many weird things. Like I said, like, Nolan Arenado was pretty much on the verge of getting traded. How's he going to get traded now?
Nope.
And, you know what I mean? All that money that he just got, he was actually smart to take that cash. At the time, because now if you're a free agent moving forward, the pool's not going to be as big.
You know what I mean?
Like,
all the money they're
losing. All these leagues are losing like 25-30% of the revenue due to no fans and concessions and all that. And that's going to have a trickle down effect on the salary caps.
Yeah. What do you do with the NBA? And they're one of the biggest culprits. These super max contracts, like, with the money that's going on there, like, that's something that you definitely have to look at, because those guys were paying out. They were giving away money hand over fist. Gabe, you see the contracts in that league? Because they get paid. And now you can't do that. You can't, in today's climate, go up and say, this guy is a supermax player where we're going to give him this money to break the bank. It just can't happen.
The finances of sports are completely going to change moving forward. All right, so speaking of change, this is Major League Baseball's latest deal. The proposed plan involves realigning Major League Baseball to three divisions based on teams' locations. rather than National or American League. The new divisions would help reduce travel, and there would be no fans in attendance at any of the games. Bob Nightingale reports, USA Today, the new plan is pending approval of medical experts, providing that COVID-19 testing is available to the public, which it's not so far. It would eliminate the need for players to be in isolation, although it remains unknown if teams would open the season in Arizona, Texas, and Florida for a few weeks. Major League Baseball could potentially have a 100-game regular season schedule. It's not going to happen, right? You know, maybe they could pull off. There was another story about they're thinking they could pull minimum of 60 days to have sort of a mini season slash tournament. But these are the this would be the realignment right now. Realign divisions. The East Division. The Baltimore Orioles. The Boston Red Sox. Miami Marlins. New York Mets. New York Yankees. Philadelphia Phillies. Pittsburgh Pirates. Toronto Blue Jays. Washington Nationals. You know, you look at this division. This is exactly the American League East and the National League East put together with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's right. Gotta have the Pirates. I'm going to tell you, though, Gabe, like, geographically it made sense, but let's think about this, too. You have the Toronto Blue Jays. You're dealing with a different, country circumstances, all these other things. Like, I don't think these stories are all fine and dandy, but they're not taking into consideration all the trickle-down effects, and there's tons and tons of them following. Like, to actually assume, think about it. We're at the end of April right now. We're going into May, and we're talking about July. Like, there are so many problems. We don't even know what the hell is going on, like, moving forward, if things can get worse or if there's going to be a problem. So I think these reports are premature and actually stupid. I understand you want to have a plan, but it just doesn't make sense.
For me, the one that made the most sense for Major League Baseball was their Cactus League, Grapefruit League.
Yeah, that one was...
It really did make the most sense. Have the players just live... You know, I got to tell you, the isolation thing's not happening, all right? Like, the quarantine stuff's not happening. It's just impossible to pull off. It's too complicated. It takes too many tests. They're going to have to get into, you're going to have to take a chance and risk type thing, right? Like, they'll take tests and monitor it, but they can't be living in quarantine. You know what I mean? Like, the woman that goes to work at Dunkin' Donuts this morning, is she working in quarantine? Is she living in quarantine? No.
No.
Right? She's taking a subway that's all disgusting with homeless people taking dumps there and everything. Yeah. Right? You don't have to be in quarantine, but it's to limit the exposure to it. I think we'll get to that point, but then it's, you know, the players want to do it. And as you stated, a lot of these stories, they don't take into account the actual logistics of things. Logistics actually matter. But like I said, to me, the best idea they had was the Arizona and Florida stuff. Have the teams live at their spring training complexes like they already were. And you're in Arizona and Florida, two states that aren't, you know, it's not overly crazy. You live in isolation, but not in quarantine. You know what I mean? You just sort of stay away from everybody all the time. You will have players getting sick. You will have stuff happen, but you can blast through it. Yeah, I just don't know if we're going to be able to get there, but... You know, so that the divisions, the East was basically the American League East and the National League East thrown together with the Pittsburgh Pirates dropped in. The West, Arizona, Colorado, LA Angels, LA Dodgers, Astros Athletics, San Diego, San Francisco. So basically they just took both West and jammed them together and both Centrals, except the Atlanta Braves are in that Central division. Like you said, this is kind of a waste of time, isn't it, right now?
Yeah, it is. It is a waste of time because I just don't think I just don't see this thing as viable, Gabe. It's the thing is time's ticking and we don't even know. And we talk about one thing too. What happens then? I have a question. So for these leagues to be successful and move on, say a player tests positive, they can't shut down the league again and do it. They're going to have to isolate that problem, figure it out, and keep on going. Because if there's anything that happens that way, you have already taken two steps back, and then mathematically you are screwed. So there's a lot of things to think about. I get it. I like the geographics that are closed, but we're not talking about a million other things that have to fall into place to make it work.
Now, the NBA is another story. We've talked about it often. You know, the difference with baseball is just so challenging, guys. There's 30 teams. There's a million guys on each team. They're going to have expanded rosters this year because of the situation. You're literally talking about 1,200 players. And then you're not even talking about the broadcast crews, the everyone else in the stadium and everything. It's just so many people. And for so long, like, you know what I mean? A major, like, to play 81 games, and all these teams, or 100 games, et cetera. The NBA is a little bit different. The NBA is the one, I think they can pull it off. And I don't know if they will, only because the NBA, they're kind of socially more conscious than some of these other leagues, right,
Cam? They've been very quiet lately, too, which is very kind of different in comparison to, like, Major League Baseball is coming up with a plan, it seems like, almost every hour, where the NBA seems to be waiting for a super plan before they kind of come out with a story to say, this is about as close as it gets. That's the way I'm reading it.
I think
right
the NBA is more realistic as opposed to, like, wasting time every day coming up with stupid plans on napkins that won't mean anything 2 days later.
Yeah, that's the thing. Exactly.
Listen, I think we all know the NBA's plan. The NBA's plan is to play in Las Vegas and play the playoffs. And I think they're just waiting. It's the waiting game. They know we need to keep waiting. But the numbers that are up, like we talked about it, like I'm not in a hurry to bet an NFL win total right now. Because, like, I don't mind betting a rookie of the year prop. Like we were talking about, hey, is Isaiah Simmons to win a defensive rookie of the year or Tua offensive rookie of the year. I don't mind that because they can't change that. Mm-hmm. They can change a win total bet. Let's say the NFL season's 14 games. Then suddenly the 8.5, your bet is void.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But so this NBA stuff, Cam, they have NBA futures up right now at FanDuel. They count. Like, you bet this NBA future right now, they play this tournament in Vegas or whatever, you know, your bet counts. So I figured it'd be cool just do a little line check and check in and see what the numbers are. And you know, I want to ask you, which teams, is there a team or two that you think that presents the most value here?
The question I have is, in these NBA tournaments, if we're going to be, is it going to be a best 2 out of 3? Are they going to play 4 out of 7? Because if it's a 2 out of 3, we can have an example where the Denver Nuggets.
We don't know.
To see, that's the thing. These things have
but
to be known.
But not 2 of 3, 3 of 5 was the
three
top.
3 of 5, yeah. I'm just saying, though, when you present those scenarios, an underdog is a better chance to beat a favorite in a short amount of time.
Exactly. Like the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 240 are a horrible bet.
Yes.
Like you get no value. They're not playing at home anymore. They haven't played in a while. They're a three-point shooting team.
Yeah, didn't Giannis say they don't, like, hey,
they
I don't
even have a rip.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like, you can't go to Huffy Sports and get
one
online.
I'm sure he's worked out.
I'm sure he's working it out. But, like, if you're a professional athlete and you give me the excuse if you don't have the equipment, you're just a moron. Look at us. We're doing shows from home. We find ways to get it done with no money. You're telling me a millionaire can't go out and get like a basketball net or do other things?
I was
like,
surprised
they still deliver.
Chris Middleton didn't. Only because he's like a shooter that I was like, dude, you don't have like something in your backyard?
Exactly.
Nothing?
Like that's crazy to me, man. Like that's insane. How do you not shoot every
Middleton
day?
Middleton says he walks around his house dribbling all the time.
Well.
He's doing dribbling drills?
Yeah, I get it, but you still
How big is Giannis going to be when he comes back? He's been said he's been lifting weights and, like, working out. And, God, he's going to look like Chapman probably when it's all said and done. So just think about it, though, guys. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks are a good home team, right? Like, they are a good home team. Like, they do well there.
Philly did all their winning at home.
Oh, Philly is a good example. Philly would be screwed in on a neutral court. Like, they're not a good road team, which means they're not a good neutral court team. Like, road is you're not at home. Yep. Right. So it softens the blow a little bit, but they would never have that couple of wins in their back pocket that they automatically get when they go home all the time.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to survive. Right. So I think Milwaukee, no value. They could be in trouble in a short series. They're a 3-point shooting team. What if they're cold after this like 4-month layoff or whatever it's going to end up being? Same with the LA Lakers. There's two ways of looking at it. LeBron is going to be refreshed. And LeBron can put the pedal to the metal for 5 or 6 weeks, and that's a scary thought. But at the same point in time, they were playing so well when this stopped.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can just, like, snap their fingers and just be right back to that level.
You're right, Gabe, but I will say I'll take column A because LeBron James is an aging superstar anyway. You don't think – I look for guys like in hockey, Ovechkin, guys like that. You need a break when you're an older guy that gets beat down, and he does. You can say what you want about LeBron, but this guy's playing a lot of minutes. Nothing could have helped this guy more refresh it, but you're right. The team aspect, it's hard for a hot team to get cold, and can they just pick it up? But I got to believe that LeBron James, with this amount of time off, Gabe, that's good news for business if you're a Laker fan.
Well, I think the same thing for the Clippers. I think it's a positive for the Clippers. Paul George is banged up. Well, he's always banged up.
Yeah.
And Kawhi, supposedly Kawhi's feeling pretty good right now. Doc Rivers said he spoke to him, and Kawhi said, I feel real good.
That's bad news for the NBA.
Yeah, like Kawhi knowing, like that's why it would be so sick. Because Kawhi would be like, man, this is five and a half weeks. I'm going all out. Like all in every night here to get this championship right now. So to me, you know, I think the Bucks are vulnerable. The Lakers plus 270, I don't like the value at plus 270.
I need more.
The Clippers at plus 340,
I think
they'd be a tough out.
Like, here's the thing.
A tough out.
You look at the West, and sometimes when we bet, Gabe, and, you know, we've had these conversations before, I always look for value too, but value means jack if it doesn't win. So in the West, I really only believe, you know, the Clippers are the best team, in my opinion, in the West when healthy, and the Lakers.
What about
the
Rockets in a shortened period?
Yeah, it's dangerous because of their shooting, but it also goes
they're
the other way.
They're too hot, cold, exactly.
If they go cold, they're done. They could get swept. So, but what's their number?
12-1.
Yeah, that's not enough for me.
And this one surprises me because these next teams actually do present value to me. And, you know, we'll go to Boston first.
Boston, listen, scary.
I think the Raptors, personally, the Raptors should be the fourth choice after the Clippers here. The Raptors get no – it's ridiculous that the Raptors are at 24-1. But the Boston Celtics are also dangerous at 20-1. Like,
that's
would you rather have the
price.
Celtics at 20-1 or the Bucks at plus 240?
I'd rather have the Celtics at 20-1.
On a neutral court, you know what I mean? Like, that's good value with the Boston Celtics. Very good value with the Toronto Raptor team, too, guys. It's a very good road team. The Raptors are so fundamentally sound and just systematic. The Raptors, you know, would be good anywhere, guys. Like, the Raptors would be good in a normal format. They'll be good when they've been off for a while. They're well coached.
Both teams have been beat up all year, too. And that's
think about
another
how
thing.
Hurt they were, exactly.
Yes, here's another thing. You could take Milwaukee at that price, but the thing is, those prices are so good for those teams. It's like a horse race game. If we throw at the favorite, like we're going to do in one of the races of the Arkansas Derby, we take the Raptors at 24, you take the Celtics at 20, and I got to believe, with Philadelphia and the way they play crap-ass basketball on the road, those are two good bets. If it ain't the Raptors, it could be Boston and vice versa. Great bets at those prices. You could do both.
And I bring this up now, guys, because, you know, honestly, if they played NBA basketball, in my own personal opinion, it would be like an August, September type thing. They're not stupid. They're not leaking stories about starting, you know, July 4th or anything like that. They know they can pull this off, and they also know they can start their season next year a little later. They talked about starting in December. So that's my guesstimation, Cam. I'll throw it out here. Like, the NBA playoffs will start August 24th or something.
It's a good guess.
And they'll go into October in Vegas with no fans.
Yep.
But I'm telling you right now, guys, it's like the stock market. The Raptors will not be 24-1. Like, if they announce, all right, we're going to Vegas, we're doing this, suddenly the Raptors fall to 10-1.
Problem
like, it's exploding out here right now because no one's betting on it.
Yeah, if we bet Boston and Toronto and get that price and they void it, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, well, I got a winning Raptor ticket in my kitchen cupboard that I'm getting upset about.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Renzi throwing it down on SB Nation Radio, the loudest station in the nation. We're kicking it with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. A lot of stuff to get to. We've had a lot of fun already. I want to get to some NFL news. We finally have a number as far as Jameis Winston is concerned and the New Orleans Saints. And that number turns out to be $1.1 million, $4.7 with incentives, yet he ends up getting $1.1 million.
Where's the incentives? He's going to be holding a clipboard for Drew Brees before he has to pay.
And Taysom Hill.
And Taysom Hill, who signed a two-year deal. I don't know what the hell's going on with this guy, as I said before. And I will reiterate again, I don't know what Jameis Winston did to people in the league, the things he did in college. He's working out hard. He gets a bad rap. It almost feels to me it's like some of these guys are being blackballed. That is a horrible number. I understand you have to do that. The Saints were up against the cap, so maybe he's dealing with them now to get a better number later. But I'm looking at that number going, that is bad, bad, bad for a guy that's been in the league that long.
He is the 52nd paid quarterback in the NFL.
Puccio just said six long snappers in the NFL make more money. Are you kidding me?
Here's the list of guys that make more money than him at the quarterback position. C.J. Beathard.
I don't even know. C.J. Beathard.
I mean, the kid in San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco,
he takes a beating. Yeah,
he had a cup of coffee. He had a cup. Yeah. Remember his grandfather's Bobby, the old
Chargers.
Redskins and Chargers gym. Yeah. DeShone Kizer.
Yep.
Chad Henne. Jeff Driscoll.
Wow.
Ryan Griffin. Okay, listen. I can live with Chad Henne making more than $1 million. Yeah, Chad Henne's been in the NFL for 12 years.
Kid.
Ryan Griffin blows. All right, that was the kid. Remember, he didn't blow. Remember, we liked him in preseason.
I liked him.
Tampa and stuff.
He should not be making more than Jameis Winston. That's
Chase Daniel, Nate Sudfeld, Matt Barkley, Nate Peterman.
Wow.
Cooper Rush.
That's insane.
We're talking about a guy that just threw 50 touchdown passes.
Cooper Rush makes more? That's sick.
Colt McCoy, Matt Schaub, RG3, Case Keenum. How about this? A.J. McCarron. A.J. McCarron makes $4 million a year.
That's unreal. That is absolutely.
A.J. McCarron's terrible.
He is. He is a terrible quarterback. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Some of those guys like Chase Daniel, that makes sense.
Some of them, the guys that have been in the league for a long time, right?
Yeah, I have no problem with the guys that are serviceable backups for that long, but that is absolutely sickening to me. That's wrong. That's just simply wrong. This is, Gabe, this reeks, though, of basically, you talked about it. Drew Brees is going to be gone. This is the swan song for DB. This is his last year in the Big Easy. We talk, we're even going to make a bet for him to be in politics, maybe be the governor of Louisiana one day. But I'll tell you, in good faith, they better have come up to Jameis Winston and said, listen, you'll take a pay cut now and get greased. We're going to grease you nice later on down the line because that number is awful.
All right, so Jameis Winston, I saw the numbers here. What was he? It was like number one in passing yards.
Yeah,
like, He had a million interceptions and stuff
right?
You know, when I say 50 touchdowns, over the last couple of years, how many touchdowns did this kid throw?
Huge.
Like, we talked about his numbers, even a touchdown to interception ratio. It's not that bad in his career for being a gunslinger. Like, it was 121 to 88.
Top of it. Yeah, exactly. So that's the thing. So you're still like 25 over to the good rather than the negative. Here's the thing. Jameis Winston has done enough. I know it. But that number is sickening. Like, guys, third stringers might make that kind of money. And I just think it's absolutely wrong. 71 TDs the past 3 years.
71.
That's damn good.
Yeah, 71. So 30, 14, and 11. And listen, he does turn the ball over too much. We're not saying he doesn't. Yeah. But I'm just, you know, the situation that he finds himself in. Now, he called it the Harvard of education, so to speak. He's like, this is the quarterback. I'm looking, it's like going to Harvard. And it is true. He's going to learn from Sean Payton, from Drew Brees. And then we'll see where he goes from here after the fact. But wow, $1.1 million. For James, like, to me, I maintain if I was the Chargers, I would have signed him. And look at this. How much money you could have gotten Jameis Winston for dirt cheap if you were the Chargers. Instead, now you've got Herbert, who's not even going to be able to beat out Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. But, Gabe, think about this. I never thought about this perspective. Maybe Jameis Winston do his changing and emerging and saying, you know what? I am going to get fleeced a little bit on this deal, but what I'm going to lose now is going to be so much beneficial down the road to your Harvard comment. you do get to learn from the best, and you get to go to a great situation in the Saints with their weapons. Breeze is only going to be there one more year, so short-term hit for long-term gain.
I can't believe, too, that they really think Taysom Hill is like their quarterback.
Taysom Hill is...
Because a kid runs a couple of trick plays. Doesn't mean
he's not a starting quarterback. I know. The fact is, I like Taysom Hill, but the amount of money they paid him was, to me, fiscally irresponsible.
All right, so this is something else that blew my mind. You want to talk about quarterbacks getting screwed over. Jameis Winston is one thing. How about this? Aaron Rodgers. So Cole Kubelik tweeted this out. Career touchdown passes to first-round picks. Drew Brees, 104. Tom Brady, 105. Peyton Manning, 293. Brett Favre, 127. Dan Marino, 84. Phillip Rivers, 35. Ben Roethlisberger, 69 touchdown passes to somebody that was drafted in the first round. Aaron Rodgers, one.
Yes, one.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers has thrown one touchdown pass in his career to somebody that was drafted in the first round. Mercedes Lewis in 2019.
That's right. He was their tight end for a cup of coffee.
That's whacked, bro.
That's a great stat. That is absolutely horrible. Yeah, Davante Adams, he was not a first-round pick, right? You know, what were you, Fresno State?
Yeah, Fresno.
So think about this.
Jimmy Graham. You go down the list, but Antonio Freeman. Like, who was the best? You know, Antonio Freeman was more Brett Favre guy, right?
Yeah, Jordy Nelson was a guy that was
not a first-rounder. But the whole point is they've never surrounded him with talent. And look again, they could have done it. They needed another wide receiver. Could have got a good one. It's amazing. Look at that. One.
It is Mercedes Lewis at the tail end of his career after being with, like, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay.
That's one of those things that I would never guess, like, you know, a trivia thing in a million years.
No, nobody would. Like, unless
if you would have said how many touchdown passes have Aaron Rodgers thrown to a first-round draft pick, you'd be like, I don't know, 39, 38, 50. One. Never, ever. Honestly, how would you ever, guess that? How would you ever know that?
I gotta tell you, the more and more you talk about bizarre world during COVID-19, I know Aaron Rodgers can rub you the wrong way, but the more and more I think about it, I'm on his side for so many things now. Even getting drafted the way he did, getting lied to by GM, sitting in the green room like a stooge till he did get drafted.
They've been screwing him for years.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Now you know why he's so surly.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's a reason why people are the way they are, and you have to look at the way he's been treated. And
Chris Collinsworth,
he hasn't been treated as a star.
Chris Collinsworth, not like a controversial guy. Collinsworth came out and said the other night that he'd be enraged if he was Aaron Rodgers, and, like, enough is enough. And Brian Billick and others were talking about how basically it's real. Like, they almost are pushing him out. Like, you know, let me ask you, do you think Aaron Rodgers ever plays for another team? I do. I'm starting to think he's not going to end his career there.
I almost think, right after Green, it's like sayonara. You know, you go draft Jordan Love. He's going to understand the window of time. Yep, some team, basically, for his last 1 or 2 years, he'll go to, like, a Super Bowl contender that needs a quarterback, a team that's real close, and hopefully do it. I'm on his side now, too. I think this is the organization has treated him poorly for too long.
Now, there was a story I wanted to get to. I find it amusing, Cam. The NCAA announces, like today type thing, we're going to pass this endorsement likeness deal for college players now. It's funny because before all this, you were like, oh, God, no. And then even when you were pretending to be nice about it, you're like, well, we'll look into it in, like, 2023 or something like that.
Yeah.
Now suddenly they're going to fast track this. And I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that four of the top 15 players, and you can argue four of the top 10, but four of the top 15 college basketball players have opted out. They've either skipped, decommitted, and gone to this new G League, or gone to Europe, et cetera. We talked about all the Kentucky recruits, basically Calipari being the cool guy that he is, telling them, I don't recommend you coming here.
No. And another,
he said, for your own best interest, I'd go to the NBA G League or go to Europe or something. Like, we don't even know if we're going to play.
Gabe, you know it's a different world. Like, some of these guys need to make money now. We talked about our little joke. I need my settlement, but I need cash now. And J.G. Wentworth's not on line one for these guys right now. You want to go and play in Europe? I'm sold. Pay me in some euros. I'll play well there. Play with men. They well, might the not new, be NBA. There's so many positives.
But the new G League is a much better option in Europe. And, even.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
it's less money, though. It's a weird deal because you can get more money in Europe depending on who you are. But the G League, it's in Los Angeles. So it provides a perfect opportunity. You go to Los Angeles. They're giving like $300,000 and $500,000, bro.
Yeah.
Right? Now, a high-end recruit in college will probably get about 150, but it's illegal. It's under the table. They got to worry all the time about getting caught. Kids got to worry he can't smoke weed if he takes a free pizza from someone or he got caught. And, you know what I mean? It's a big, like, it's and you're playing. What's the point? Right? You're working for, like, this university. And so basically now four kids have said, screw it. And this has just started right now. It's only going to build and get more and more. And there'll be more players to bypass it. Now, it doesn't mean the college basketball, you know, won't still be fun. Like a team, I always use Creighton as an example. A team like Creighton or a team like Wichita State Cam with kids that come back for
seniors.
4 years.
Yep, that's why I bet on Creighton.
It's going to be fun, fundamentally good basketball. The one-and-done kids won't be there anymore, right? But this is almost a little bit of an equalizer. So this is what I found to be interesting and funny. If you look at where the top players have gone, Cam, this is the top recruits, college basketball, high school recruits. These are the schools they've ended up at now because the top kids didn't go.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State have the best player in the country now.
Dr. Ranieri.
Cade Cunningham.
Cowboys.
He's now the number one ranked player in the country.
That's great.
Yeah. The number two player in the country plays for the USC Trojans now.
Wow, USC's been close, but this is good news for them. They're getting better.
Kentucky's got one kid.
Yep.
Kentucky's got one kid who's the fourth ranked. It's the only top 10 player Kentucky have suddenly.
Unbelievable.
The fifth best kid in the country is playing at Stanford.
Yep.
Sixth best kid's playing at FSU. You got Texas. You've got Iowa State.
Go Cyclones.
Like you see what I'm saying? Like,
no,
just
I like this.
Like the power, like suddenly, I'm not saying Duke are going to suck and Kansas aren't going to have really good players, but I'm just saying it's not automatic now. Oh, blue chip, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. It's like, no, he's at Oklahoma State.
That's parity.
You know what I mean? Oh, he's in Los Angeles. He's at USC instead. Like these are kids that aren't quite good enough to sign with the G League. So suddenly they're the best kid left in college. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean, and you're right. And take a look at those schools that are dangerous, like Creighton, Wichita State, as you mentioned, and players that will have these teams, these players around for 3-4 years together, get to learn every single tendency. It's going to make the tournament and the games very interesting, Gabe. Let's put it that way. Parity. Sounds like parity to me.
I haven't been all over the college basketball recruiting scene over the last little while, but it seems like in this new landscape, one mid-major that's rising to the top, and people believe they have the best recruiting class and are going to be the number one team in the country, Gonzaga.
Oh, yeah, Gonzaga, yeah. That's
if you think about it, he's not recruiting one-and-done guys.
No, he's not.
He's recruiting guys that are really good that he'll coach up to be an NBA pick in 2 years, and you'll go as a junior in 3 years type thing.
Makes a lot of sense.
You know what I mean? So suddenly, like, Gonzaga, he might actually get a win now.
For all of Mark Few's bitching, it looks like things are coming around to his way of thinking.
But there's always a but. And for every lock, there's a key.
Yes.
And with the likeness stuff, so they're going to pass the likeness. The NCAA has to do this.
As well they should.
They don't have a choice because they're going to lose these players. So they have to have a financial incentive for players to stay and play college basketball. Except a lot of kids, Kev, if you play for Wichita State, what are you making off your likeness?
Not much.
You go to the local mall.
Yeah.
You'll get a free suit. Hey, he's appearing at Geno Suits at the mall. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Hey, I'm the
like
center of Wichita State.
Like
I get my custom big man. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You get, hey, it's Gabe. He wants his lasagna now. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Hey, I'm the point star. Hey, I'm Bill Smith, starting point guard at Wichita State Shockers. I love Joe's Diner before a big game, right? Like stuff like that.
The best is how the Raptors still are doing commercials for
local
Mediterranean. Hi, I'm Fred Van Fleet with my boy here. We love Osmo's Mediterranean. I'm like, oh my God, that place is like down the street. No, but you're right.
Well, like, yeah, it's like the guys that signed Siakam for dirt cheap in Toronto. Like local corner store signed Siakam to a deal. It's like, man, a kid turned into a star.
That guy's got a commercial for peanut butter.
You got Pippen like, hey, I'm Pascal Siakam. Like,
him and Brand Fleet, they do peanut butter and jam ads. It's crazy.
Think about though now if the likeness comes into play.
Yep.
This is where Duke and UCLA get back into play.
Yeah.
They're gonna say, listen, kid. You can make money, big money off your likeness because you're going to be on ABC and ESPN every weekend. You're going to be on TV every night. Don't go to North Texas. You're not going to be on TV. You'll be able to make money and sell your likeness. And now the shoe companies are going to get even more diabolical and evil than they already were.
that's scary.
Yeah, they're going to say, oh, I'll sponsor you, kid. Don't worry. Right? But other coaches are aware of this, so they're going to have guidelines. Long story short, I don't have a problem with seeing the NCAA system crumble. And I don't want college basketball to crumble, but things needed to change the way they were. I'm tired of seeing these guys just get filthy rich off of everybody else.
Yeah, it's not just, yeah. So the schools get rich. Sports are basically 80, 90% of the revenue. Some of these kids are never going to, you know, they're going to be working for enterprise. They're not going to make enough money. I'm with you, Gabe. Needed to change. Pay the damn kids.
All right. So we're going to get into the Arkansas Derby. We're going to get into the NFL draft as well. Never a bad time to talk NFL football. We're going to kick it with the NFL draft Bible crew. Me and Cam will run the gauntlet, man. We got the Arkansas Derby and down the stretch. They come. This derby's so big, they split it into two. So we got the Saturday night, the horse racing. We'll give you guys some picks. We'll run through the field, all that, and more Game Time Decisions continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.